T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
This is the Brian Mitchell Show on the Team 980 and the Radio.com app.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Brian Mitchell Show, Team 980, Team980.com, and the Radio.com app. Got a guy hit me this morning. He was telling me that he couldn't find Team 980. He said, man, he keeps sending me to this other radio station. I said, well, you need to go to the Radio.com app. And then you find the Team 980, and you can stream it anywhere you are. So, yes, the Team 980 app is no longer there, but the Radio.com app, you can find us there, and you can hear everything that we're talking about. We have a very good show for you today. Mike Jones, USA Today, and the Football Jones podcast will join us today. He's going to talk about a lot of different things. You know, Mike is really covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and New Orleans Saints game this weekend. This is the third time they played. The Saints have beaten them 2 times. And it wasn't close, okay? We'll find out if Tom Brady and that team have gotten a little better and what's going to happen there. And then Mike also has been covering different things about the coaching searches. And, you know, it's something I'll be discussing in a few minutes here, where a lot of people are being released. A lot of people are being, you know, we know that they should get an opportunity. Every year we hear that they're supposed to get an opportunity. Are they going to get it? You know, the NFL has talked a lot. That's the first part of the line, is to make sure things are worked out properly. We got the Rooney Rule. And I will just go out and say this. I praise Dan Rooney because, you know, Art Rooney, because what you got the Rooney Rule. He went out and handled his business. He put his money where his mouth was. He had a young man and 38-year-old Mike Tomlin come in, and he hired him. He didn't just go out there and just blow smoke. You know, that's how things are sometimes. Later on in the show, we'll move on to some basketball. Chris Miles from NBA TV is actually on a flight now down to Atlanta. He's supposed to land around 1:15. We'll get Chris somewhere along the lines of 2 o'clock, 2:15, and get his take because we're watching a lot of things unfold here. The NBA was praised based off of the bubble and how things were handled. Absolutely praised, okay? And now they're not in the bubble. Our Washington Wizards were supposed to be playing tonight. They're not going to be playing. There are other games that are being kind of, you know, threatened to be suspended again in the NBA. We got Kyrie Irving running around acting like as if he doesn't play in the NBA. He could do whatever the hell he wants to do. There are some people who said, I saw somebody just say, he should just retire. You won't want to follow rules, retire. You know, get out the game. And I say that for anybody out there. There are rules in place to try and alleviate and get past this whole pandemic. Okay, and if we're not going to listen, go somewhere else by yourself and do whatever you want to yourself. But if you're going to try to get past it and start not harm and infect other people, we're going to have to learn how to pay a little attention. But now, time for the open kickoff.
Mitchell's going to return it. To the 30, 35, breaks the tackle of the 40. He may go. It's over. It's a touchdown for Mitchell.
Mitchell from the 10. Mitchell! Can he go 90? He can't!
It's time for B. Mitch to take the opening kickoff.
Yep, that's my name, B. Mitch. And listen, it's NFL, a place where I have loved since I was a kid, probably 4 or 5 years old. I first started watching football with my big brothers and looking around. And I've always said, one day I want to play there. You know, and then I watch people on TV. You know, you begin to formulate. You know, who are your role models? Who are the people you look up to? Who you want to be like? But I had a father in my house who always taught me that there are football players, you know. you follow them to be a football player, but they may make mistakes off the field, which kind of set my mindset for how I am this year. But when I start looking at things around the NFL, and I see how many people are people of color, okay, and I'm not just talking about African American. You got a lot of different nationalities playing in the NFL now, to be totally honest with you. Hell, we got a coach right here. He's not African American. He's Ron Rivera, okay? He's from the Latin descent. But guess what? He is doing outstanding. And I think you give that credit. But when you look around and you start seeing who's hired at a high level, it doesn't seem to be those type of people. And I think this year, when we look at the fact that there are seven coaches that have been relieved of their duties, okay? One of those guys was African American. That's Anthony Lynn. When you look at the other two, in Romeo Crennel and Raheem Morris, the teams felt that it was so beneficial for the team to get rid of those other coaches and Bill O'Brien and also Dan Quinn that they got rid of them during the season. And they brought in two guys, Romeo Crennel and Raheem Morris. And I would say after they got rid of Dan Quinn, the Atlanta Falcons played better than what they were playing. What was it? Did Raheem have a better message? And I know a lot of people would say, well, they didn't win tons of games, but I say that the whole dynamic of the football team was different. We have seven people that have been relieved of their duty. And I know that there are at least seven potential coaches that are African-American or some other. Will they get the chance? You know, I've heard so much about the Fritz Powell Alliance, and I heard about these interviews and things of that nature. And my question is, are these interviews token interviews? Because I praise the Fritz Powell Alliance for what they were trying to do. But the Rooney Rule is something that basically was saying, I don't think the letter of the law was for them to say, oh, let's just interview some of them. We're not intending on hiring them. It was let's interview, and also if you find out that the person is the best, you hire him. They hired Mike Tomlin at 38 years old. He has been there ever since. Okay. Now, the Steelers are different than most teams because the Steelers seem to have loyalty with their team, their coaches. They allow them to be there, and they do things the Steelers' way, not the coach's way. They do it the Steelers' way. So they had three coaches, three coaches in the history of their franchise. A lot of teams can learn because some of them have had three coaches in a matter of a year or two because they want to get rid of people so quick. Sometimes you have to let things grow, let things happen. And then also you have to put some power in the hands of the man that you want to call the head coach, okay? I believe Ron Rivera was able to impact the Washington football team so quickly because he was allowed to come in with power. He wasn't allowed to come in here and somebody else had the power. Like, oh, you have the title. Coach John Thompson always talked about it. You can't just give me a title without the power. I need to have the power. When I got here to Washington, and I use this example, like when I was a young man, early in my years, below than 10 years old, 6, 7, 8 years old, I would go to church. I always called the preacher God. I thought the preacher was God. My mom said, no, that's not God. Okay? So that's someone that works under God. So when I get to the Washington football team in 1990, the head man to me that ran the whole business wasn't Jack Kent Cook. It was Joe Gibbs. But, you know, as I began to watch things, I watched that Jack Kent Cook was running things. But Jack Kent Cook was so damn smart that he stayed away. And he made the perception of everybody in the building be that Jack Kent, that Joe Gibbs was running it. So when coach talked, everybody listened. Now I'm looking over at the Washington football team, and I see when it comes to football operations, Ron Rivera is the head man. So if I was 6 years old, Ron Rivera would be the god of the Washington football team in my book because it seems to be now where you have that man in place. I say all that to say this. If you hire Eric Bieniemy somewhere, people, if Todd Bowles ends up getting another head coaching job, you know, if Jim Caldwell finally get back into the league, you also have to give them that damn power and that respect. So the team, everybody else around will look at and respect them in the same manner that they do the actual owner or whoever else. GM, sometimes your job is to go and bring players, okay, not to tell me who to play. And I think that's the main thing right now. You get a lot of African-American coaches coming in, and we don't give them the same power to go along as we do to their white counterparts. And then when they fail, they out of the league for a long time. The other guy fell at one place, and they got a job the next year. Not fair. We watched a lot of things that have been going on around here and outside of football. Not fair. I just think it's time to put everything on a level playing field, okay? And then we'll figure out what can happen. There will be some hires. I hope to God that they hire the people that are best, not just because they look like a person or that. Because I have watched many, many people, and I keep hearing about the Bill Belichick tree, you know? What's the guy? Mayo. They look at Gerard Mayo right now, 34 years old. If he's the best, give him a chance. Don't just hire him because he's from a Bill Belichick tree, because I've seen people from the Bill Belichick tree do nothing. Matt Patricia, for a prime example. And a lot of those people are that way. So as we move forward, let's start doing this thing. I get tired of seeing 60, 70, 80% of the guys looking like me on the field, but then the people that are leading them, they can't get it done. That's a problem to Brian Mitchell and hopefully to everybody else. And just give the person who deserves it the proper chance. All right? An opening kickoff on the Team 980 is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. This is the Brian Mitchell Show, Team 980, Team980.com, and the Radio.com app. When we get back, Mike Jones. Mike Jones, back then he didn't know me. Now I'm hot, they all on me. From USA Today and the Football Jones Podcast will join me right here on the Brian Mitchell Show. Peace.
Download the Radio.com app and favorite the Team 980 to listen anytime, anywhere. The Brian Mitchell Show on the Team 980 and the Radio.com app.
Mitchell Show, Team 980, Team980.com, and the Radio.com app. Coming up now, and joining me here on the Brian Mitchell Show, Mike Jones. And Mike, man, I see Lamar Jackson kind of was taken back when you got to ask him a question, huh?
Yeah, you know, and the thing is, like, I've talked to him before, but I guess, you know, it just the moment he, with the way the announcer, the PR guy announced it.
Mike Jones.
Just must have, you know, really, really hit him in a way that he, you know, just was taken aback and wasn't expecting it. So,
you're going to be covering the Saints and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this weekend. Game 6:40 on Sunday night. They're in that primetime spot again. Tom Brady and Drew Brees. You definitely want to see that happen in the primetime spot. But ultimately, the Saints handled them the first two times.
Right.
Is it anything different that makes you feel that, hey, it may be a different story this time? Because everybody always talk about, oh, it's hard to beat a team three times. It's not impossible. You know, it's happened. No. It's happened a few times. But yeah, it is harder for some reason, because I guess if you beat somebody twice, you don't go into it with the same mindset because we beat you twice.
Right. And each time you think that the opponent learns something different about what they need to do. And, you know, Brady seems like he's more comfortable in this offense now than he was at that point. The way they, you know, finished off the season, the way they looked last week. Now, they struggled in the red zone, and the Saints have a defense that gets after the quarterback that, you know, they struggled in the red zone against Washington last week. And the Saints have a defense that really gets after the quarterback, and that was why Brady was not as effective those two games. I mean, he, you know, really struggled against them. So it's going to be interesting to see what they have cooked up to try to keep that defense from being able to pin their ears back and come after them. But, you know, also when you look at the Saints, I don't know if they're quite as high powered. You know, Drew Brees is, you know, he had the injury layoff there. He's back now, but I just haven't seen, you know, Alvin Kamara was, you know, a monster, but I don't know what to think of this Saints team as far as deep playoff runs.
When I looked at them against Washington, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they were able to run the ball on early downs and put themselves in third and short situations. The Saints are, you know, they're not as good as Tampa when they stop and run, but they're fourth in the league, which is damn good. If they can alleviate what Fournette did against Washington and put that all on Brady, does that open it up even more for the Saints?
Yeah, I think so. You know, when, you know, we talk about Drew Brees versus Tom Brady, and it's going to be, you know, really probably entertaining to see those two go at it with each other. But I think that this defense, the defenses are what's going to make or break each one of these teams. You know, if the Saints can rattle Brady just like they did in those first two meetings, then they probably have a good chance to win this game. But if they cook something up, Byron Leftwich and Bruce Arians, and they're able to use the aggression of the Saints against them, then I think their offense will have more of a chance. Same thing. If, you know, Todd Bowles, that defense, they've got to find a way to knock the Saints off of what they do offensively. And that's something that they really haven't had a good answer for the last two times that they played them.
And the Saints were missing Michael Thomas at some point of the year, whether he was being disciplined or injured or whatever. He comes right back in the game basically against the Bears. He has 5 receptions, 73 yards, 1 touchdown. If they get him back going full speed, I mean, I think it's tough for anybody to really stop them as an offense then.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, that's why I think, again, it's going to be defense. Can they take him away and force Drew Brees to go to some other people and force they basically have to take away Thomas and they've got to take away Kamara. So that's a tall task. But then when you look at the other side of the ball, they got to take away Mike Evans. They got to take away Godwin. They got to take away, Antonio Brown. Yeah, and they got to take away Fournette. So both of these teams really have a wealth of weapons that they can utilize. It's a matter of which quarterback's going to be more comfortable, because whatever quarterback's more comfortable is going to be the last one standing, I think.
So we have two of the greatest quarterbacks in history playing, and your focus is on the defenses because that's going to make the difference. As they say, yeah, offense wins championships. I mean, sells tickets. Defense wins championships.
Exactly.
So we'll definitely be paying attention to both of those things. But another thing happening around the NFL, we have 7 coaches that have been relieved of their duties. Okay, and every year we get into this, and people talk about who's going to be hired. I've heard people of all walks of life say, if Eric Bieniemy don't get a job this time, something is wrong.
Right.
Okay. Also, I can remember being on a golf course one day with Byron Leftwich. He got a call from Bruce Arians, said, I want you to come and coach with me because I see you as a potential head coach one day. Byron Leftwich goes. He's a quarterback coach. Then all of a sudden he's calling plays. He's another guy that people start looking at and saying that's a possibility. You know,
right,
do you think Eric Bieniemy gets that chance this time? And the hiring process changes a little bit because we got 7 openings. Okay, Raheem Morris was in one of them as an interim coach. Romeo Crennel was another as an interim coach. And then Anthony Lynn. 3 left. Will you get 3 African-Americans or people of color hired this year or more?
I don't know. You know, we know that the NFL has done its part. They expanded the Rooney Rule, requiring you to interview a minority candidate outside of your organization. You can't just interview your running back coach or your defensive coordinator to say, oh, we interviewed a minority. You've got to go outside. And you also have to interview 4 defensive and offensive coordinators. They have done everything they can to try to create more opportunities for people of color to interview for these coaching jobs. But talking to guys around the league, they're still not very optimistic. They're still very skeptical. They said, you know what, this should just be more token interviews. And we saw with Jacksonville, they interviewed Bieniemy, but the word on the street was that Urban Meyer had already said to people that it was his job if he wanted it. And that was before Urban Meyer had even interviewed him, before Bieniemy had interviewed. We look at Houston, who, you know, they've interviewed a number of people for their job. And once Deshaun Watson was upset that they hadn't considered Bieniemy, all of a sudden they request to interview Bieniemy. So there are people who are still skeptical about the intentions of these teams because they can go by the Rooney Rule. But if an owner has in his mind, I want to go after this guy, then these are just really, you know, window dressing.
Think about what you just said. You said that they interviewed Eric Bieniemy. Urban Meyer told people that it's his job. Now, this is the difference. We're worried about Eric Bieniemy getting a fair chance. Urban Meyer is asking for $15 million a year. I got this from someone down in Jacksonville. He's asking for $15 million. So they're trying to figure out, okay, how much we're going to give him. The question I asked, Urban Meyer has some success in college. Urban Meyer has also been known as a guy who quits on his teams and leave when things don't be working right for him. Okay,
right.
Eric Bieniemy has proven what he's capable of at the NFL level. So what gives anybody the idea that Urban Meyer could be more of an effective coach at the pro level than Eric Bieniemy? He's talking about $15 million, okay? And Eric Bieniemy, he's trying to get a damn opportunity. I don't think that makes much sense to me.
Yeah, well, you know, they're thinking about what's the sexy name. You know, Florida is big college football fans. Urban Meyer used to coach in Florida. You know, when you're thinking about, okay, the Jaguars are going to want a new stadium in a couple years. They want to put, you know, butts in those seats. Who's going to do that for them? Oh, Urban Meyer.
I think winning football games will do it for him quicker than a damn name.
But you and I don't think the same way that these owners think here, you know, obviously. And I think, you know, that it'd be crazy to give that kind of money to a guy that has never been one known to stick with something long term and has never coached in the NFL. The college game is different than the NFL game. I know we're seeing some college coaches like Cliff Kingsbury come in here and have success. Matt Rhule had an okay first year, but still, it's different. You don't have all the recruiting. Also, you got grown men. All the rah-rah stuff, and you know, my way or the highway doesn't work.
It don't work
in the NFL. You know, so I think it would be risky to pay that kind of money. As we saw with the Raiders, they've given John Gruden $100 million. And 3 years, he still hasn't taken them back to the playoffs. So, you know, that high a price tag, I wonder, and somebody I talked to was like, I don't know if he really wants to coach or if he's just intrigued and kind of flattered. And then he's like, oh, well, let me ask for this much to kind of see, you know, what they say. And so far, we heard reports that he was close to, you know, that they were going to have that job filled by the end of the week. And that was last week. And he still is not in it. So who knows really what's going on there?
I was listening to Al Galdi's show yesterday. He was talking about who's the better coach, who has the best run, Bill Belichick or Nick Saban. And I'm hands down Bill Belichick. Because in college, you can dictate to people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You say do this or hit the highway, and they have to listen. Also, when you are Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, LSU, you know, those level of teams, you get to pick up the litter. In the NFL, you have to go out there and pay the same amount of money every other team paid. And Bill Belichick paid less than most teams and had less of talent on offense, and they won this much. But that's dealing with grown men, okay? Yeah. I'm never going to put in. So that same coach who they're trying to say was one of the greatest, comparing him to the one who did it at the best level, Nick Saban went to the NFL and ran his tail back to college because he could not deal with it because he couldn't talk that trash to a grown man and they just listened to it.
Right.
And even after winning all he's won in college, he goes to the pros right now, they're going to still check him.
Yep.
So Bill Belichick listened to it.
Right.
And even after winning all he's won in college, he goes to the pros right now, they're going to still check him.
Yep.
So Bill Belichick will be it for me. And I think that's where a lot of college coaches fail. But I think these younger coaches like the Cliff Kingsbury and things of that nature, they understand these guys today. Hell, Cliff Kingsbury, he's not too far from being able to be my damn son.
Right.
And I don't consider myself old, but he understands the young generation and all these people like, my way or the highway. Dude, please, take that back to college.
Yeah.
And I think they need to look for somebody who's had the success in college, who knows how, and this is the one thing I think many people, even fans and front office and coaches, they don't ever think about. It's not about X's and O's. It's how can you communicate with your team? How can you get your team to do what you want them to do? Ron Rivera won here so far because Ron Rivera has already gotten people to buy into what he's selling. And when you do that, everything else is easy.
Yeah. You've got to be able to preach accountability. You've got to be able to inspire. You've got to be able to keep people focused.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not gimmicky stuff because, you know, the gimmicks, that stuff wears thin.
Mm-hmm.
You got, you know, grown men who've heard and seen it all and, you know, little cutesy stuff doesn't work. So that's why, you know, I really would think long and hard about a college guy who doesn't have an NFL background. Say if this was a college guy who has either played in the NFL or has coached in the NFL already, then okay, you know, I would feel much more comfortable with that. But, you know, and even Cliff Kingsbury, look, he's done some good stuff with Kyler Murray, but I don't think we can say that he's great yet.
Not close.
You know, they haven't made the playoffs yet. And so we'll see. It does seem like they're headed in the right direction, but at the same time, be careful going after those sexy names because they were flashy in college.
Talking to Mike Jones from USA Today and the Football Jones podcast. You can find his podcast anywhere podcasts are basically sold. And I just find that simple normally works better.
Yeah.
Ron Rivera rolls into town. He says, we're going to be accountable. Then he says, I'm going to hold myself accountable. I almost wrecked my car when I heard a man say that because not many people held themselves accountable. We know from the previous coach in front of him. But then he says that, and he started to preach one little thing every day: attitude, preparation, effort.
Yep.
Attitude, preparation, effort. I think if you were to tell any person that in any aspect of life, any business out there in this world, and they can work on their attitude, and they see that the person telling them about it, he works on his attitude. They say about their preparation. They see him preparing at a high level, even while he's dealing with cancer and treatments. And they say the great effort that you give me. And if a guy repeat that every day and they try to repeat that those three little things, you'll get better. And all it takes is me is to do I think back to the coaches that I respected the most. The coaches that told me the simplest thing, and I did it, and then I had success. I thought that was the best coach in the world. The coaches that came up with all these dynamic plays and yelling and stuff, and we still stumped, I think they were the biggest jackasses in the world. And that's what I'm saying. So when I start looking for these coaches, it's not about the tree you come from. It's not about, you know, the rah-rah and what kind of plays you can draw up. Because I've seen a bunch of plays drawn up that didn't work. Remember the swinging gate that we tried here two times in one game, and neither one of them worked?
Yeah.
It was nice. It didn't work.
Yeah. And also, a lot of guys have told me, everybody basically runs the same plays anyway. You know, there's little wrinkles here and there, but the plays that work are because everybody concentrated on doing their job and they were all working in unison. Every single one of these coaches can draw up the most exotic, creative, crazy plays, but can you get everybody to do their job? And do you have a feel for when it's time to break out the razzle dazzle and when to go with your bread and butter? So, you know, that's another thing that's very important is coaching.
Yeah, I think right now if I was to get interviewed for a job and the owner asked me, what am I going to do? I'm going to say I'm going to run the damn football and I'm going to stop the run. And then I'll build off of that. Yep. Because you know what happens today? There are a lot of people out there that want to throw the football around, but they don't have the quarterback or the receivers to throw it around. But they sell this to their coaching, to their owner. But at the end of the season, every year, the last 2 to 4 teams that make it, they also can run the football effectively, and they stop the run. The New Orleans Saints, when I throw out the Saints, the first thing people think about is Alvin Kamara and his big-time, big plays. And all of them, they're for screens and things of that nature. But that team averages 141 yards per game rushing the football. Okay? They're one of the top teams out there. Against the run, they give up 94 yards. And they in the top four, top five there. We look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They give up 80-something yards a game rushing. They rush for over 100 and something. They're in the final eight. And if you look around, you'll figure out that there's that correlation. Now, when you look at Kansas City can throw the football, but you know what? If you mess around and start setting up for the run, they will run it on you.
Yes,
but
they will.
Everybody today wants to tell an owner, and the owners have proven to be as dumb as hell, too, because they believe them, that I'm going to do what that team do. If you don't have Patrick Mahomes and Hill and all those other speed demons on your team, you can't do what they do.
No,
and the owners believe that they're going to do it when they'll tell them, oh, no, you got to keep that quarterback, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
So I think the thing of it is the owners got to get a lot smarter, too. Someone should try to sit down owners and have some football 101, football, what do you call it, football 101 for dummies, that's what they call it, and educate them on football. Football is not one just because I say I'm going to do. It's one because I do what I say I can do.
Yep, having that vision and having the time to execute that vision.
Yeah, and I mean, it's crazy, but we will see how it goes. And what are you working on with the podcast, man? Who you have coming up with us?
I had Mike Shanahan on talking about Matt LaFleur.
You had Mike Shanahan?
Talking a little reunion with Matt LaFleur and Sean McVay going up against each other. He talks about the first time he met each one, why he hired them, what makes them all tick, what their personalities and their traits are, and how their philosophies have put their teams in position for success. So some good stuff from our old buddy Mike Shanahan.
You know what? The one thing about Mike was honest even when he was telling you that he wasn't honest. He said, look, I'm trying to be honest.
Right.
I don't normally do this,
exactly.
But I'm trying to be honest with you.
Absolutely
funny. Well, Mike, man, I appreciate you giving me some time. And, hey, good stuff. I hope you're working on all the coaching hires and things of that nature. Let's hope something comes out to this thing in a positive manner. Things start moving. And I will say that the powers that be are thinking properly.
Yep, we'll hope for so. I'm not holding my breath, but let's hope for the best.
All right, well, thank you, man. Appreciate you.
All right, thanks, B. Mitch.
All right, Mike Jones, USA Today, and the Football Jones Podcast for what else is trending around the NFL.
Here's what's trending on the Team 980.
Well, I said the NFL, but it's around the sports world. James Harden right now says that the Rockets situation is crazy and not fixable. They're just not good enough. And John Wall is saying, well, after 9 games, you're already ready to jump off the ship? I would say there's trouble in Houston land. Virginia Tech last night beat Duke 74-67 at VTech in Blacksburg. And Tyree Rafford led the way with a 7-12 shooting, 18 points, 12 rebounds, and 5 assists. That's a guard, people. 18 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists. This is the Brian Mitchell Show, Team 980, team980.com, and the radio.com app. We'll be back.
Only way to stream the Team 980 on your phone or smart speaker is with the radio.com app. Presented by Regency Furniture. This weekend, shop the 72-hour Red Tag Savings event at Regency Furniture with Red Tag Savings up to 72% off store-wide. Free delivery and no interest financing.
The Brian Mitchell Show on the Team 980 and the radio.com app.
All right, welcome back. Brian Mitchell Show, Team 980, team980.com, the radio.com app. And I just want you all to know the Caps kick off tomorrow night, and we will be joined tomorrow at 12:15 by, I would say, the sharpest dressed man in the D.C. metropolitan area. Mr. Joe Beninati is going to join us, kick off the season, find out his expectations. Because I think Joe knows hockey and Caps hockey as good as anybody that thinks they know what they're talking about. And Joe, come on with us, and I think that'll be a fantastic show because I always love chatting it up with him. Also, Chris Miles will join us a little bit later on in the show, and I think that'll be a fantastic show because I always love chatting it up with him. Also, Chris Miles will join us a little bit later on in the show at, I'd say around 2:15. Because Chris is flying down to Atlanta. He works at NBA TV. Getting down there, getting ready to talk about all the stuff that's going on. The NBA, they led the way with the bubble. It was exceptional until we had one, Lou Williams wanted to go get some lemon pepper wings at a certain spot. You know, things happen like that. But this is Wednesday, and Wednesday, you know how I do it. Wednesday, and today is hump day. And I always try to get you all to get me over the hump because I know we pick our topics. We try to talk about the things that we feel are trending and very good. But sometimes you have things that weighing you down and you want to discuss. Whether it's going to be the football season that just ended, the basketball season that's going on. You know, we're looking at the moves that have some moves been made. You know, Schwarber signed with the Nets. We see against us. You know, with Carrasco and Lindor going up to the Mets, that's going to affect us with the Nationals here. You know, all those things, Caps kicking off tomorrow. If it's something like that that's troubling you or weighing on you and you want to talk about it, you talk about it. This is an open call segment as we do on Wednesdays, 301-230-0980. You know, now, when they made the trade, Russell Westbrook, and they went on to get John Wall down there, I thought, you know, it's a possibility. You know, John gets down, Mirko. But it seemed to me already. He and James Harden don't seem to be seeing eye to eye. John saying it's just 9 games. James Harden is saying this is not fixable. We can't get this thing done. And I think if your two top players on your team supposed to be top talented and making the most money, if those two can't get along, then damn well you can't fix it. So ultimately we will find out what's going to happen, and how are we going to get this thing done down there in, I would say, in the big H-O, Houston, Texas. Start off in D.C. with my man, Telly. Telly, what's going on with you, brother? How you doing? What up, Telly?
Fish, what's happening, man? Hello to Redskins.
Chilling, man.
Bro?
Drinking my double cappuccino.
Oh, wow, why did I drink cappuccino?
I got to make sure y'all get that energy, man, you know?
Hey, look, B-Mitch, man, oh, man, it's not talked about enough what you was talking before the break, man, when you was talking to Mike Jones. I guess my only thing is, when you say we enough owners don't understand, you know, the concept of pretty much football 101. Now, when you got now the coaches, when the owners say, okay, I'm going to give it all to the coaches. Should the owners already established to the coaches, hey, look, this is how I want my team ran? Or do you say to the owner, well, I'm just letting my coach run the team like it is? Because if that's the case, like you said, I mean, like in this situation, we got Ron running the show. Now, to me, if I'm Ron, you sitting back, you seeing what's happening. You understand football. Why are you not going to your OC saying, look, man, we need to run the ball. We need to establish the run. Because it seems to me this OC, man, he's not getting it. And I don't want to go through another 5 years, another 6 years, because he's stuck in his ways. It's like the last regime was. He was stuck in his ways. And it's obvious, man. You got to run the ball. And they refuse to run the ball. So how should they go about it?
Well, I think what happens, I appreciate you telling. I think what happens is, you know, the owner is there asking the coach for the most part. The owner understands, I need to give some level of power to this coach, because if he's winning football games, I'm going to make my money. But I think when you're looking at Ron and also Scott, nobody wants – I don't want a micromanaging manager over me or a head coach or whatever over me in anything I've ever done. You know, the manager that's always over my shoulder trying to tell me, do this. I can't do my job if I'm constantly listening to you tell me how to do my job. Let me grow at it. Then if we're going to have a meeting once a week or once every 2 weeks, we can do that. And I can try and improve upon what you're talking about. But if I improve upon what you're talking about, then you start telling me something else, then I'm going to have a problem with you and we're not going to work. But I think we all blame Scott a lot, but I think a lot of it came down to health. A lot of times they were calling plays and the offensive line wasn't blocking and they get tackled behind the line of scrimmage. It's second and 12. Okay, now you're trying to get some yards back, so you have to throw a pass. Those things happen. Now, when I watched that last game against Tampa, they were calling running plays. I don't think Gibson was healthy enough to actually execute the plays how they wanted him to do it. Now, you're not going to hear a coach come out and say, oh, no, he wasn't ready. I watched him play all year, and I watched how explosive he is and how powerful he became. In that game, he was gingerly running along. He steps out of bounds when there was nobody coming to hit him where he could have cut back in and went for yards. He wasn't able to put his foot in the ground and go, and that's the effects of turf toe. So you got your best player in there, but he may not be able to be your actual best player. Now, were they stubborn and sticking with him and not going with somebody else? That could be something that you can ask a question on. But I think they tried to run it, and they just wasn't executing. A lot of times you run plays, and it's not that the play is the wrong play. It's just that you did not do the things you were supposed to do to have the success you wanted to have, point blank. Let's go to Bethesda, check out Tony. What's up, Tony? How you doing?
B-Mitch, my favorite Lemonhead. What's going on with you, baby boy?
Call me Lemonhead one more time, I'll strangle you.
Hey, man, Reese said that, man. I ain't said that.
Uh-huh.
That's what I heard.
I'm going to B-Mitch you next time you do it. I'm going to do you what I did Pete Haley.
Hey, look here, man. Randy Fichtner, or we call him Spinkner, up in Pittsburgh. Dude, before the Redskins game, I think it was the Baltimore game, he does the same stuff, man. And that 11-0 was fraudulent, dude. They should have lost to Dallas. They should have lost to the Giants. They barely beat Denver. Dude, I could go on and on and on. But the bottom line is, B-Mitch, they got five receivers and a tight end. And they're throwing this short stuff. You got 18 people in the box. So what, they catch it, they get 3 yards? No, spread them out like you did the second half against Cleveland and just air raid them like they did against Indianapolis. But that's a whole different story. But look here, man. What happened to S-Talk?
I don't know.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, then. Jonesy, you a Bama. Red T, you a Bama. And the Redskins suck. And anybody else got something to say, y'all have a good one, man.
You can't say nobody suck. You're still a fan. We whoop your ass and sent you home. We took over the whole state of Pennsylvania. Deuces. Oh, all right, let's go to Thomas in D.C. What's up, Thomas? How you feeling?
B-Mitch, man, what's going on, baby?
Chilling, man.
Hey, man, he asked a question that I was going to ask, that I wasn't going to ask, but I was wondering myself what was going on with F-Soft. But you know what? You damn sure answered the question. Ain't nothing going on. You don't know. But at the end of the day, man, I just wanted to just talk. Is this Scott Brooks thing, what's going on with our coach with the Wizards, man?
I haven't heard anything about him, and I wonder, I think this is a situation where no one has said it, but I would say that you got Russell, you got Brad, you have some young guys who are coming along who you think are going to be great talent for you, and I would think that people are looking to see what Scott Brooks really does, you know, because as I look at it, the team has always scored points. They can't stop anybody.
True.
So until – I think he got to figure out a way to get his team to play defense.
And that's my thing, B-Man. That's why I wanted to bring this up, right? Because, you know, I love my Washington football team. I'm going to say that if I got a little time. But let's switch this over to Scott Brooks and this organization. Let's go to them now. Let's switch this up, man. You know I'm always interviewing for you. So let's go to Scott Brooks and what's going on with Ted Lawson, with the owner. In reference to this offensive scheme and this defense, Scott Brooks is not the answer. You know what I mean? I just don't think. Do we got to go through another jailing season with Westbrook and Bill has to jail to get the job done? They got great players. I mean, you know, and I'm tired. I just think it needs to be a coaching change in reference to trying to develop someone with the Wizards. I don't know what to say about that, man. You know, it's just a hard feeling with that.
All right, man. Well, I think this here. I don't think, Thomas, thanks for your call. I don't think you're by yourself in that sense. But I think, you know, we have noticed that Ted's going to do it how Ted wants to do it. You know, so if he don't feel like right now I'm going to do it, because I don't, you know, and I don't seem to have a problem with Ted's mindset. I'm not paying you to not be here. A lot of owners don't have a problem paying you $5, $6, $7, $10 million to be gone. I don't see where that's smart at. I'm going to be paying you to be getting your money. I'm going to be paying somebody else here who's doing the job. So I'm paying two times, you know. But ultimately, to me, the problem with the Wizards over the years has been lack of defense. And I believe that a mindset has to happen. I look right over to the Capitals. Barry Trotz rolled in here, and Barry Trotz basically sat down with Ovi one-on-one. You're my best player. You can score goals from all over the place. I need you to become somebody else. Ovi became somebody else. Okay? What'd they do? They went on and won them a championship. And I think he became a better player in that mindset. He still can score at will, but he does other things that can impact the game. The coach has to be able to sit down with the top players and say, this is how we're going to become what y'all want to be. I need y'all to focus more on the other side of the ball. You know, John Thompson, and I quote John a lot because I absolutely love the man. He taught me so much. Remind me of my father. John always said, anybody can play offense. But that guy that's going to be a rebounder and play defense, that's a guy that wants to do it. You got to find some players that may not be the top-notch guy on your team, but they are going to be that guy that's willing to do the dirty work. And if in practice, if he's going to play the hell out of somebody, D and D them up, they'll learn how to become a better player offensively, and they will start to see what the hell is he doing to affect me. Now I got to do that to somebody else. And if you have a coach who's basically like being a jockey and cracking that, all of a sudden your team has some level. I understand. No team in the NBA plays hella defense. But there are teams out there who give more effort than others, and they seem to affect people. When the Golden State Warriors were putting all the points on the board, they were at the top of all categories when it came down to defense. Why? They put so much stress on you as an offense. When they got on the other side, they that's the energy that they play with. They started to get in you. You couldn't handle it. So it's a mindset thing. They got players on the team right now that's willing to do it. They probably can. But I don't think they're forced to do it. So, yes, back to Thomas' situation. That goes back to Scotty Brooks. And if he can't get it out of him, then maybe he's not the one to get it done, point blank. Let's go to Rick in D.C. What's up, Rick?
Hey, what's up, B-Mitch? I agree, man, with a couple of the callers. I agree with what you just said. And I just don't think Scotty Brooks is the person to get it done. I felt like that when he first got here. I was like, man, I think that's a bad move. I don't think You know, I think he's a great guy, but I didn't think he was good for our team. And I also, you know, I'm really, you know, the jury's still out for me, B. Mitch, on that whole John Wall thing, man. Like, you know, I'm not, you know, I'm not tied to John Wall or nothing like that, but I just don't know if it was the best move for us, man. You know, straight up and down, you know, you look at Westbrook versus him, and do Westbrook bring more to the table? You know, maybe so in terms of some of his individual stats or, you know, we know, you know, he's a force on the court and all this and that. But John Wall was a team guy, man. He was a team guy. He was a true point guard. He was a true leader. So, you know, that says something as well, man. So I really don't I don't know at this point. You know, I think the jury is still kind of out whether that was a good move. Overall is what I'm saying. I'm not saying that Westbrook is not a great player or better player. Mm-hmm. But overall, because it's not – and you know this, B. Mitch, being an athlete, it's not always about if you, you know, if you're the best player. It's about fit as well, you know. And I just think that John Wall fit very well for this team. But, hey, B. Mitch, yep. Also, man, you know, with the football team, man, you know, I haven't heard nothing. Maybe I missed it, you know. But, I mean, Ron Rivera, I was saying this all year, B. Mitch. When I was calling in, I said, look, man, I said, everybody that's all on top of Ron Rivera and talking all this crazy nonsense and the dude that had that crazy clip earlier in the year, we need to get rid of him. He ain't never won back-to-back orders. And then I said back then, I said it now. I said, look, man, a coach is different from a player. You know, you can't judge a coach off of one game or two games because a coach has so much more on their plate. You can't judge a coach like that. You got to put together, you know, a number of things. You got to look at the whole season. You got to look at the off season, the moves he make, everything. So I'm dying to see, man, this off season, what are they going to do? I think we're going in the right direction. I love the direction we're going in. It's looking good. But I ain't heard nothing, be missed. Did I miss something? Have they cut anybody yet? Have they made any adjustments yet, man? Because, I mean, normally when the season is over, man, losing teams, they get right to it. Yeah, I mean, and when I mean losing things, people that, you know, once you get out the playoffs or whatever, uh-huh. they get right to that next season. And lastly, hey, B. Mitch, I don't know who that. Yeah, I mean, and when I mean losing things, people that, you know, once you get out the playoffs or whatever, uh-huh. they get right to that next season. And lastly, hey, B. Mitch, I don't know who that boy was. I think it was I don't know which one of them guys was, man. But man, you hit that dude so hard on Instagram, man.
That was just 60%, oh my God.
Hey, B. Mitch, I'm telling you, man, you gave that dude an adjustment, man. I'm telling you, like a chiropractor, man. I'm telling you, I'm praying for him today, man. Hey, y'all be easy,
all right,
man.
Be cool, man. Now, I think Sean Dion Hamilton was released. I think that's the only thing that has happened so far with the Washington football team. But ultimately, I don't think you can judge anybody by one game, one season. I think what they did this year was great. That has to continue on to you to be able to say it. So whether it's a player or a coach, you know, I'm starting to lean in the side. I lean in the side after somebody give me a great year and say, okay, I see what they got. The next year I want to see you repeat it. You know, that's just it. You know, one thing about, I think even Ron states, consistency. You can't be on a roller coaster ride as a player or a coach because you won't be around very long. We're going to take a break here. We get back. Open call segments, 301-230-0980. Got Lap. We got Paulie. Going to have a lot more on the line. This is the Brian Mitchell Show, Team 980, team980.com, and the radio.com app.
You can listen to the Team 980 on your smart speaker. Just say, play the Team 980.